Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back, everybody. Very excited today, Leroy. Today is...
Whoa! Can I read this text?
Hold on. Before you do that, I want to wish a happy birthday to the GOAT, 51 years old, from Pensacola, Florida, Roy Jones Jr.
Oh, yeah.
Are they going to go Emmitt Smith?
Nope. Love Roy Jones. Roy Jones and I were in the same fraternity. In fact, I remember giving him Radio Row the last time Radio Row was down here. Only person I was like, I gotta go like shake that dude's hand, Roy Jones Jr. But I gave him the secret fraternity handshake, and like I was like, I don't know how this is gonna go over, and it went awesome.
Oh yeah, I remember that. That picture was in our old building in the hallway.
Yep, a young whippersnapper Tobin meeting Roy Jones, and he had like the Jordan Brand jumpsuit on, like he would wear back in the day. Oh, it looked velvety, looked comfy. But Roy Jones was a beast, man. So good. Holy, like you want some fun? Go. Hey, you whippersnappers out there, you know, you talk about this Floyd Mayweather. Go do yourself a favor. Watch some Roy Jones on YouTube.
Roy Jones was the only reason why Roy Jones isn't Floyd Mayweather is because nobody would fight him, and he had to keep switching weight classes until he got to heavyweight and started getting knocked out.
Well, no. What happened was he won the heavyweight title, and then when he went back down in weight, he got knocked out.
Right.
By our friend of the show, Antonio Tarver.
Woo! And then, he's got a little Masvidal in him.
And then Glenn Johnson, resident. So,
what's your excuse this time, roll. Roy?
Got an excuse tonight, Roy? Let's get to some headlines real quick, and then we will get to Ira Winderman.
This is WAXYAM South Miami and WSFSFM HD2
Miramar. Didn't you get knocked out in the ring?
Radio.com sports hockey. Station.
Did you guys give out the code word?
No.
If you heard the clue to the song, it is go, G-O.
That's it.
That's your code word.
Okay. Go.
Wow.
G-O. Text go to 72881 and you're registered.
They even cutting back on the code words.
Letters.
It's brought to you by Anna John Levine, Accident Attorneys. Text go to 72881. What do we got, Robbie?
It's not Joe either. It's like if you have the G's and J's mixed up.
I'm bad with G's and J's.
Leroy, you wanted to get to that text?
It's a struggle.
Dear silly Leroy. People who judge play based on the numbers are statisticians.
Yep.
You're a former football player, so you should know the importance of actually watching the games. And if you watch the games, you see a lot of Tannehill's numbers are garbage.
This is Adam Beasley texting in?
No. Like, I whatever. I'm not going to, like, my whole thing, I never said that Ryan Tannehill was better than Aaron Rodgers. Okay? Mm-hmm. I'm merely saying that you guys watch the games and get caught up in who they are, that you lose track of how they're losing it.
I'm just saying.
And I don't. I can watch a game and say, oh, dude can't make that throw anymore. You get enamored by the one or two throws that they make. And I don't know when it's going to go sideways, because guess what? Ben Roethlisberger was fine a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
Right? Drew Brees, 2 years ago. Tom Brady. Now, Drew Brees and Tom Brady can't throw the ball down the field.
No, I just don't think I can shovel dirt on Aaron Rodgers.
I'm not shoveling dirt on him.
We'll get to we'll continue this on. Robbie, we'll skip headlines.
Yeah, all right, yeah. Robbie, he won last night. Panthers play tonight. All
right,
you got it.
Yeah, go. Panthers at 7. Check that out. Ira Winderman joins us right now on the guest line. Ira, thanks for the time, man.
I hope I don't have to go as quick as the headlines.
No. I'm just trying to make way for you, man. By the way, Ira was brought to us on the Toyota of Hollywood guest line. Shop over 1,500 Toyotas indoors in one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. Good win for the Heat last night. They certainly needed it. Can't lose three in a row going back on the road the way they play on the road. So good to see them get back in the friendly confines and pulling out last night, Ira. What did you make of the performance?
You know what? And I think more than anything, it turned into, to a degree, the Brooklyn game and the Knicks game, where they had a comfortable lead, and then all of a sudden they didn't. And this time they were able to finish it, both with offensive and defensive plays. I think that was really important, as much as getting back home and getting the home win and ending the first losing streak of the season. The way they finished the game as closers was encouraging, because, again, those kind of situations are going to be the playoff type of situations. When it's on the line, when your leading man is being taken out of the game or is simply not having a good game, who else steps up? And those two late Kendrick Nunn baskets, for example, and what they did on defense at the close, I thought that was the most important thing last night, that they were able to avoid the type of collapse we saw in Brooklyn and New York. I thought that was really heartening for them.
He was really great yesterday. I mean, 33 points. It was a super efficient night for him. This season for him, I mean, it started off, you know, bursting onto the scene. He's got a couple of Rookie of the Month awards now. But you know, there have been the struggles there. Was it good to see him have a night like that where, you know, Jimmy didn't really have the shot going and you needed somebody to carry you, especially with Tyler Hero out?
Yeah, that's the main point there. With Tyler Hero out, I would say to myself, who's going to be the secondary scorer? And you know that Goran's still going to hit three-pointers, going to have his moments, but he's also 33. You can't count on that. And so that was my concern going into last night's game. You know, was there going to be a guy, if someone was off, who would step up? That's what Kendrick Nunn is. I've been going back and forth all season, who's the better rookie? There are moments when Tyler Hero starts hitting threes and you realize he has that one special skill. He could be a streak scorer more than Kendrick Nunn can. But what Kendrick Nunn showed last night, and to me, guys, this takes me back to that final exhibition game against Houston when he had the 40 points. He can do that. He can be the type of NBA player who can go off at any moment and have that big night. I'm not so sure Tyler Hero has the variety in his offense yet. That's what Kendrick Nunn has. He has the three-point game. He has the DeRozan-like mid-range game. He has, when he's playing well, the ability to get to the rim and to get to the foul line. He sort of fills all three boxes. So I think that sort of brought back the memories and made you realize how complete an offensive player he could be. So I think that was encouraging. And again, that's all you want from guys like that. If you can give me two or three of those every month, when I have my leading men in Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo, I'll be fine. I thought that was really encouraging last night.
Yeah, we were talking about this a little earlier. Like, I was thinking to myself driving in today, like, if that performance was by Tyler Hero, I feel like we'd be going a lot crazier about it. And I think the X factor in that is just the age, because Kendrick is
he's
older,
25.
He is an older
right.
rookie.
Yeah.
But it's still impressive nonetheless. Like, this isn't, you know, especially because he has dealt with some of those valleys and has had to deal with some of the adversity and the growing pains of the league. He's still going through that, even though he isn't, you know, the spry teenager for a couple more days that Tyler Hero still is.
You know, he has a maturity of being beaten down by life and having to learn life lessons. And I think when you go through those situations, say what you want about what he went through, you know, first in college at Illinois and how he had to sort of resurrect his career, then going undrafted and playing for the Warriors G League team. I think stuff like that really steals you, and it sort of makes you a different player, that when you do hit adversity, it's not, oh my God, what do I do now? And you look lost. Instead, as you think back to the fights you had to make to get back, I like those kind of guys. I like the kind of guys who have been to the bottom and have worked their way back, because that tells me they have the resiliency that I don't say to myself, wow, Kendrick Nunn's going through two bad weeks. Is that all there is? And there are guys and there are young players that you think about that when they hit that rough patch, they're unable to work their way back. Guys, got to be honest with you. There are veterans like that. You could almost equate that to the Dion Waiters situation. Dion Waiters either got himself or was beaten down. That's the kind of guy, I don't know if he has the resiliency of the mental part of the game. Same thing, and I'm not trying to be too unfair here, with Justice Winslow. I like the guy who's been to the bottom and fought his way back. Those guys always have a way of sort of pushing themselves back to who they truly are.
Ira, another thing I would say about Tyler Hero, and we were talking about this when Tobin talked to Pop yesterday, is that a lot of guys that come, especially to the Heat, and I noticed this with the Heat, they are kind of very passive no matter how dominant they were when they came from, you know, their former team or college or wherever. And Tyler Hero is one of the young guys that wasn't that. So it kind of takes you off guard, because, you know, one of the things Pop said about Bam is that, hey, he wasn't very aggressive. He was kind of, you know, he deferred a lot, and that happens a lot with the Heat. So when these guys go somewhere else, but Tyler Johnson wasn't like that. Tyler Johnson came and got the ball. Very aggressive from the get-go, and I think that's what catches us off guard more than anything on this team.
Yeah, and that's the thing is some coaches are turned off by the arrogance. I mean, we remember the Heat got a certain championship guard from the University of Kansas who came in and told us he was one of the best point guards in the NBA. But that fueled Mario Chalmers to a pretty good NBA career that if there wasn't that injury, probably still would be in the league right now. So there's something to be said for that. The difference is Bam Adebayo, I mean, honestly, he's the kind of person you would want to take home to meet your parents and meet your family. He's just a really, really nice person.
He's a sweetheart.
And I think when he went to the U.S. trials, he looked around and he said, I can learn from these guys. I'm going to defer to these guys, just like he deferred to Dwayne Wade, just like he deferred to Jimmy Butler. That's just his personality. I think the misread there was that Pop couldn't draw out his special skills. The difference with Tyler Hero is he comes in, Pat Riley knew what he was getting. Eric Spoelstra knows what he's getting. They've had these kind of guys before. They've had the Gerald Greens. They've had the guys who have, Eric Spoelstra always uses the word, irrational confidence. You need that on your team. What you can't have is five irrational confidence guys. You can probably get by with two, so you're fine there, which is why I think as long as you have a Tyler Hero, you might not have a Deion Waiters, because there's one thing going through a guy who has a 3 of 16 one night and then a 10 of 12 the next night. But you can't have 2 3 of 16s the same game. And you would have that with Tyler Hero and Deion Waiters, so it becomes either or. And last night to me, guys, not to get too sidetracked here, was so telling. You didn't have Justice Winslow. You didn't have Tyler Hero. You clearly were lacking in your perimeter rotation. And yet instead of turning to Deion, he turns to one more big man in Kelly Olynyk out of the deep freeze after four games. One of my Ask Ira questions at SunSentinel.com this morning was, if Deion doesn't play in that game, does he play at all this season? And I've got to tell you guys, that was one of those moments that really made me wonder if that indeed is the case. Because if ever there was an opening last night for Deion Waiters to at least get the token minutes that Kelly Olynyk got, it was going to be in that game with those two guys out. And instead, not even a sniff, not even a question about Deion. And I don't know about you, Tobin, but I wouldn't even ask that question in the postgame. They're a winning team. They never lose at home. I just think that would be a misplaced question.
Yeah, it really just has kind of gotten to the point, like, where, you know, like I saw you got the quotes from Spo the other day where he said he was sick. I'm just like, well, I'm like, is Deion in daycare? Like, my son is three. He goes to a daycare. He doesn't get sick this often with tummy aches. Like, no, they're not. And it's like, I almost wish everybody could just be more honest about it instead of just, you always got to come up with the illness or the personal reasons and all this stuff. And it's just like for a franchise that just has never done distractions, man, it seems like they've just caused a ton with all this.
And that's why I asked that question in a private setting. And in fact, I even asked Tim Donovan, the PR person, can I get Eric for a question after? And he goes to me, about what? And I go, I'd rather not say. Because I knew if I told Tim that I wanted to ask about Deion not playing, right, he'd go, coach would rather not talk about it. But I knew I had to ask that question. But I also know you can't ask that anymore in a public setting. It's not fair to Eric Spoelstra. We know he has to talk in code anyway, and I'm fine with that. People ask me, what's it like for Deion to be in the doghouse? And I go, no, Deion is not in the doghouse. He's in the basement of the doghouse. He first needs to get resurrected back to the top level to get some fresh air. James Johnson was in the doghouse, and he worked his way out. You know, again, we always talk about players. I think he deserves a second chance.
Right.
Or I think, you know, you should get three strikes. He's been suspended three times. I almost wonder, in any other sport or any other team in the history of sports, maybe outside of Steve Howe, the former pitcher, I can't think of another player who would still be with the team after three suspensions during the same season. So it's an awkward situation.
Well, you'll be happy to know that he is giving his wisdom down to the Baby Goat Gang, because yesterday on Instagram,
I saw that. Yes.
Tyler Hero is wearing the Deion Waiters shirt, and he likes it.
Yeah, you know what?
This way, that's Baby Goat right there.
He's working his way back.
Ira, what the hell did he say? The first sentence.
Which makes him which makes him, again, you know what? I don't want to be that person, but there's sometimes, you know, with Deion where you lean in and you go, okay? Mm-hmm. Like, you're just trying to understand some of that also. You know what? The thing about Eric Spoelstra, which he's very good at, is he ignores all the off-court stuff. Because let's face it, and Tobin mentioned this when I was on with you guys a couple of weeks ago. If you were not going to play a player based on your concerns about him off the court, the day when James Johnson walked in that garbage bag in that spaceman suit, you'd say to yourself, something's a little off. And you guys saw the rest of the Instagram from last night, what James Johnson was wearing.
Yeah.
The one thing about Eric, he'll put that all aside. If you work your way back and you do the right things, I love the quotes that James Johnson gave us after practice on Tuesday. He says, I'm up there cheering for our guys. And he even said it this way. Those aren't fake cheers. I'm rooting for the success of the other guys. He made a point of that. We've all seen the BS towel waivers, the guys who wave the towels and try to make a big deal, like it means everything to them, that they're rooting for their teammates, but they're just doing it to be seen on TV. To me, that's the difference with a guy like James Johnson, that he was really staying with it and rooting for his guys instead.
And you know, it makes sense because, I mean, we're talking about a guy who's a couple years removed from being team captain. So obviously his teammates like him and he's going to be invested in that stuff.
Yeah.
But you're at the point at this where if Deion's not getting into that game, he's never getting in. But it's also at the point where it's just like, I don't know how, like the cryptic piece on him, just like, all right, like, what am I supposed to do? Who cares at this point? You know, I know he does. You know, if they could find a solution where somebody wanted him and wanted to give Deion Waiters a chance on their basketball team, I mean, they would do it so fast to make it happen. Yes. But they're not going to give away make it happen. And I don't even know if anybody wants him.
And if we asked Spo before the game yesterday, you know the exact quote, Tobin, he would give. If we said, with Tyler out, could Deion play, Eric Spoelstra would say this quote, I'm open to everything. That's his catchphrase.
Right.
That's what he walks out of the room with. But clearly he's not. And again,
he said that a couple of games ago, one of the last home games, where he's like, yeah, they're on my mind. Everything's on the table.
Yeah.
Like, all right.
And again, you have to say that, especially when a guy's appealing a fine three times with the Players Association. And, you know, at some time you're going to have to sit down in front of an arbitrator who you don't want the arbitrator saying, well, coach, you said on January 15th that you would never play him again as long as you were coach. You know, it doesn't work very well in a court of appeal, so I get all that. I got to be honest with you. I will ask one question the rest of the season on days like this. I will check with the team when they're about to fly out to Oklahoma City, and I will say, is Deion traveling? And I don't mean that condescendingly. I don't mean it because I want one result or another. I just need to know. Same thing now with Justice Winslow. Is Justice Winslow going to make this trip? If you have a bad back, do you need to be in the air for three flights in a three-day span coming back and finishing a back-to-back Monday against the Kings after playing Sunday in San Antonio? These are the kind of questions I totally understand that coaches say are distractions, which is why I tried to ask them privately. But these are also questions that there are no answers to right now. Will Deion Waiters play at all this season? I don't have the answer. Will Justice Winslow play anytime soon? I don't have the answer. Yes, I'm focusing on 18-1 at home. I'm focusing on second place in the Eastern Conference. But you guys do it for a living. And you know how fans are. We all are curious, aren't we?
Sure. Yeah,
absolutely.
And this has been a season that, for all the good that has happened, there has been a lot of questions. There's been a lot of mystery that's surrounded this stuff.
And Eric handled it well. The team has won. They've proven the other quote he always uses, we have enough. And they do. And he finds a way. And he did resurrect James Johnson. It's almost like if he really do have to go to that court of appeals and the arbitration with Deion, to me, Exhibit A is James Johnson. Don't tell me I have an inescapable doghouse.
Right.
Here's the perfect example of a guy I kept away during all of training camp, sat for 2 months, but he worked his way back. We worked with him. An opportunity arose. So that's the difference also. To me, that's the ultimate defense for the Heat for how they're treating Deion Waiters is the James Johnson example. And you know what? JJ will help this team the rest of the season.
Just coming up on this weekend before we get you out of here, I have this two-game trip that they got with the Thunder and the Spurs. We saw the Spurs last night, obviously, but you saw LaMarcus Aldridge. He's trying to expand his game in threes. And Chris Paul, obviously, there was a lot of people tying the Heat to Chris Paul this upcoming trip. One, what do you think the Heat need to prove on this upcoming trip? And two, with how good the Thunder have played, do you think that Chris Paul's the Chris Paul option. Do you think that it's opened itself up at all for Miami to go in that direction, or is the contract just too gnarly to get into?
I think Chris Paul is playing at a level that any team would want him under his contract this year and next year. I think it's the opposite, Tobin. I don't think it's a matter of what Chris Paul's doing. I think it's a matter of what the Heat are doing without Chris Paul. In other words, if they would have gone into the crapper and Kendrick Nunn wasn't an answer or Tyler Hero wasn't, maybe you consider. But you know what? If you can stay as competitive as you are now for the next two seasons and then still at least get your hat in the Giannis Derby, you're not taking on that option year of Chris Paul. Chris Paul would make the Heat a better team now without question. Same thing next year, but not to the degree to sacrifice your future. He's playing well. The Thunder look like a playoff team. God bless him in the West. But I think you stay out of that contract. You stay out of a Kevin Love. You stay out of anyone that has more than 2 years left. The other name you mentioned, I mean, you were at the game last night, Tobin. I don't think I would trade for LaMarcus Aldridge anymore. I mean,
looks
he's
stiff.
Moving like a corpse out there.
Yeah, he really is.
He's there's nothing to him. He is laggardly. He fell in love with the three. That's the problem with big men who fall in love with the three. It's a great added boost to your arsenal, but don't make it the only thing you do. I watched him run down court. He was gravitating like a magnet to that corner to shoot threes. I think he's taking it a step too far. Of the two guys in San Antonio who have 2 years left in their deal, Aldridge or DeRozan, DeRozan's a guy I'd be more interested in because just he's a gritty guy who can get you a bucket when you need it. Now, would I sacrifice much of my future here in Miami? No. But if they're willing to listen to Justice Winslow, yeah, I'd be willing to listen to DeMar DeRozan. I was very impressed with him last night, the way he pushes through. Tough trip for the Heat. I could see 0-2. What the Heat have to prove is that their game exports to the road. They've been terrible on the road the last 2 weeks. They've lost 4 or 5. They had the gritty stand that they made in Indiana. So that's what I want to see. I want to see if the Thunder, I believe they have the first of the national TV games against the Lakers on Saturday. Will the Thunder be looking ahead? Steven Adams had a concussion last night. Will he still be in concussion protocol? That's important with the Heat's lack of rebounding. So we have to see the physical state of the Thunder. And honestly, I think the Spurs will be primed for revenge on their home court, so that's a difficult game. And then it's a cockamamie back-to-back. You're playing an afternoon game at San Antonio on Sunday. You come home against a feisty Sacramento Kings team on Monday, so I think a 1-1 split would be fine on this road trip for the Heat.
Thanks for the time. I appreciate
it. Thanks, Ira.
Always a pleasure. Thanks, guys.
All right. Ira Windman. We'll do a little bit more Heat on the other side back after this. Dreading this post-show meeting. God. I almost wish there was a break between the show and the meeting.
Like the old days.
Yeah, let me gather myself a little bit. But post-show meeting, 10 o'clock. Blech.
Hey, man.
Blech.
I'm going to tell you like this.
What's that, man?
I ain't got time for all these shenanigans.
What are you talking about?
I got things to do.
I know.
So, like, we just going to have to tell Dina. It can't get no worse.
No, it can't.
So, what you going to put out there? She's going to have the only, what, Trump going to shame us? We got shamed by everybody in the building.
Getting shamed by Trump would actually be kind of cool. It'd be good for the show's brand.
Really?
We'd be on the crawl.
The crawl.
We'd make Fox News.
Yeah, and like, you know, nowadays how you can listen to podcasts in like 2x speed? Maybe we've got to figure out a way to go through meetings in like 2x speed.
Did you guys see that that Kawhi Leonard had these meetings with Paul George at Drake's house? That's Judas behavior by Drake.
I mean, they both. No,
did he think they were both?
You know what's funny?
Did he think they were both coming to the Raptors?
Wow.
Here's what's funny. What's funny is you don't see. I'm gonna start nicknaming Kawhi Kaiser Sose because you don't picture him having these conversations. You think LeBron,
right.
D Wade, KD, Kyrie, but you don't see Kawhi. Kawhi was in the back. In the background, just masterfully getting what he wanted.
Yep.
Nothing.
Yep. Didn't see it coming.
Yeah, nobody knew he went to the Clippers and said, hey, get Paul George and I'll come there.
Yeah.
Really? Hey, question.
Yes, sir.
Texter chimes in, and he probably won't be able to hear us, but do we trust Jimmy at the offensive end at the end of the games? Or he's just in a rut?
I trust him. I trust what he's done this season. Yeah, it's been a bit of a rut. I thought the two games in New York, he was awful in the fourth quarter. I mean, really, really bad.
That's because you like him.
I do like him.
If you didn't like him, it'd
there's
be...
nothing. Look, you know, you have to be appreciative of what he's brought to the Heat.
No, of course.
So
of
that's,
course.
That, you know,
of course.
I'm gonna give some leeway there. At least he's not like Kyrie. Imagine your free agent acquisition this year is coming back. He comes back for three games. They go 1-2, and he's telling everybody in the locker room how they're not good enough. Like, Jimmy Butler, for all the reputation and all that stuff, that dude has done nothing but uplift everybody in that locker room. You know, from becoming best friends with Goran Dragic, saying you're going to go visit Slovenia, taking the 19-year-old under your wing, and, you know, the relationship that he's had with Bam, making, you know, Bam up the game too, all of that stuff considered. And then imagine if you had Kyrie Irving as your best player. And look, I know, we at one point thought of Orkering for Kyrie Irving.
So what?
Orkering? Orking.
No, you did. Not for Kyrie.
A little bit.
No.
A little bit. I definitely whale memed him at one point.
No chance. I know I did.
He wanted to be down here. But Kyrie's like, oh, well, we have glaring holes and we're incomplete. And I'm like, really? Like, this is what you have to say?
You need more credibility to say something like that, right?
100%. But this is the thing, is he gets to ride on that Cleveland championship, and oh, I had a big shot in game 7. All right, man, but like, at this point, you're Mario Chalmers with a Hollywood movie. Let's be honest. In fact, Chalmers got more championships at every level.
Hey, it's something to be said about what you guys do when somebody wins a championship. You pick and choose. Because if I say the words Aaron Rodgers, championship quarterback.
That's not what I said.
But
I just said that I could dial it up. That he's still. If
Eli Manning, two-time.
Eli can't dial it up.
He dialed it up twice.
He did, but I wouldn't trust 36-year-old Eli to dial it up.
Would you trust 36-year-old Aaron Rodgers?
Right. Exactly. MVP.
Oh, my God. Like, I'm baffled at what you guys, like, first of all, here, knuckleheads. I'm not saying Aaron Rodgers is better than Ryan Tannehill. You do realize that. I'm not saying that. What I am saying, right, is that how far has Aaron Rodgers fallen?
I don't feel like this is. I don't think after. I know his season wasn't fantastic, but if you have those numbers and that record, it can't be like, you know, this grand fall. Plus, he could dial it up.
Blake Bortles went to the AFC Championship game.
I know, but that was in spite of him. Aaron Rodgers did help them win.
Yeah. You know who else won a Super Bowl in spite of their quarterback?
Hmm.
Denver.
Yes, they did.
In spite of payment.
He had a broken neck, though.
And he was old!
Yeah. Well, but Aaron Rodgers didn't have a broken neck.
He's been banged up the last couple years.
Not neck, though.
Okay.
Neck is a game changer.
Or hip. That's what it's saying. Hey, Tua.
Did you see?
Give me about 10 to 15 Dak Prescotts.
Did you see that Lee Steinberg is giving Steven Ross an award? And Lee Steinberg is Tua's agent.
Right.
That's a little fishy.
It's not fishy at all because there's a wink and a nod going on here. All right. In fact, so much so, I feel like there is an LA Chargers refusal coming. An Eli Phillip Rivers scenario where if they try and trade up, don't trade up. Steven Ross has planted his flag on Tua Island. That is his. He is like, I've suffered for this. They told me that I was putting people's health at risk.
Should you do this?
Do what?
Should you?
I think he's smitten.
And I think they screwed it up by not taking Lamar Jackson. And now the owner feels that
he's feeling froggy.
Yeah,
he's feeling froggy. It's like I got
guess
the eye.
Guess what you never want.
I got the eye of talent.
Guess what you never want. Froggy owner.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to get your QB as Jim Ross told us.
Okay. Jim Ross. What did Jim Ross tell us this week? The legendary wrestling announcer.
Oh yeah.
When it comes to getting a quarterback in the draft.
Well, we all know, guys, what a quarterback means to a football team.
Yep.
At any level, you got to have it. It's not an option. It's not optional. Hell, I'm gonna roll the dice. I'm gonna get my franchise guy, my next Marino, that's gonna be my guy for 10 years, God willing, with health, and try to win some championships. But you can't win without a quarterback.
I mean, what else needs to be said?
Okay.
What else needs
okay.
to be said?
And here's where you can pick and choose what you want to get from that story or not. Because if I give you this information, what do you do with it? And that information is, if you have a top five pick and draft a quarterback, in most cases it doesn't work because your team's too bad, right? Yep. Usually the better quarterbacks are drafted in the teens, around 10 plus, teens, 20s, second round, right? If you look throughout the league, because all the ones that were drafted in top five, the jury's still out on them. So what do you make of that? Do you still, are you still, if you have the information in front of you, are you still going to just go, oh, but we're going to be different? What do you do? If you know this, are you going to go about it like, ah, we'll be different?
Yeah, but I don't look at it like that. Like, oh, it's like the people who are like, oh, well, a number one pick, how many number one picks have led the team that drafted them to a title in the NBA? It's like, that doesn't deter me from taking Zion Williamson. Like, if I think
No, basketball's different though.
I'm not basketball's different. I understand, but it's still right. a thing. Like, you right. understand. Like, it's still a statistic that a lot of people throw out.
It's
there.
A thing, but
by the way,
but,
Zion Williamson's supposed to come back next week.
Yeah.
Right.
Hmm. But it's still a thing, but keep in mind, in the NBA, you know, usually your first two or three guys are pretty good. Mm-hmm. And they can change a team more quickly.
Plenty of them haven't, and then there's been plenty of guys like Giannis who have been 14 and they've been the best player in the league, and Kawhi Leonard. A lot of the guys, like if I were to run down the list, who are the best players in the league? Kawhi Leonard, Giannis Antetokounmpo, these are not number one
correct,
overall picks.
Correct. But to say a quarterback going that high in the draft means he's going to a bad team, doesn't have a chance to develop like he needs to.
But this is what I would say. The one thing I'm hoping with the Dolphins, and this is why I gave the tanking the benefit of the doubt this year, is they've tried all the free agency, the patchwork, all of that stuff before, trying to be competitive and stay afloat. What they gave this year was supposed to be was give yourself a clean slate.
Yep.
So basically,
no, I agree with
you're drafting a quarterback and you're supposed to put him into, I'm not putting him into the bad organization that is the Miami Dolphins. I'm hopefully putting him in blank organization. And we start up from scratch. That's what I'm hoping. Now, we're wearing Dolphin costumes, which is a bit of a deterrent, and that still may just have you cursed. I don't know. Curse is a curse. But I'm hoping that all the stuff gets wiped away. Now, some may say, well, Cleveland wiped it away. And then what happened after a year? They went back to Cleveland. They got impatient, and they fired every coach. They fired the general manager who got them the quarterback they were all crazy about. So bad organizations may turn into bad organizations. You're right. But this is supposed to be a blank slate starting from scratch.
Agreed. I'm back and forth with this because I do believe that, you know, when you look at football and you look at, you know, the quarterbacks that have been selected high, it's usually because they're going to a bad team or bad organization and structurally they aren't ready to play on that team. So the proof is there. Look at Baker Mayfield. I mean, Exhibit A. But I will say this. Based on how the Dolphins have done it, as long as they stay pat, that means they stay the course. That means if he's not going to play, then you just eat it with Ryan Fitzpatrick, no matter what. And you let him heal. And if you take to it, you let him heal. And you make sure, okay? I don't want to hear from anybody, let's see what he can do. No. When the time is right, when the structure and the body of work is built to a certain extent around him to where you can evaluate him as a player, then you put him in. And are we going to be patient for that? You say you are, but are you going to be patient enough? Because you're the first guy. You are the first.
Whoa.
Robbie.
I'm so patient.
After week three.
I'm so patient.
Thomas is going to say, let's see what we got.
I'm not going to do that.
You are.
I'm not.
You always do.
I am going to take this year We're going to build up our roster to his hip is going to turn and be fully healed. We're going to do a little Fitzmagic. We're going to ride the Fitzmagic for a little bit. We're going to be a couple of patient beavers.
Now, all that being said, if I told you you could trade your 3 picks this year, right?
Yeah. We can't though. So why even talk about it? They're not going to.
What if they want Tua?
They don't.
Wait.
They want the guy who took cash from Odell.
Hey, do you want to be the only team that wants Tua?
I don't think we are the only team that wants Tua.
Okay.
I think when Lee Steinberg's like, guess what, everybody? Our annual owner award goes to the Dolphins.
What are they giving an owner award for?
Humanitarian.
Oh, okay. He does do a lot for...
He does. Yeah. We're back after this.
You know, well, I'm a chicken fried. And cold beer on Friday night.
Oh, Zach Brown Band.
A pair of jeans that fit just right.
You know, they are going to be headlining the night before. Now, hopefully this gets out to somebody. All you appers who go out there and complain you never get a chance at a prize, this may be your chance because I don't know if our signal's working right now. So here you go. If you want to go to the night before at the BB&T Center, you can get tickets now, by the way. Ticketmaster.com. It's presented by Radio.com at 790 The Ticket. If you want to go see Grammy Award-winning Zach Brown Band, call us right now, 786-360-0790. Quite frankly, I'm going to give it a call number one because I don't know how many people are listening right now. 786-360-0790. First one to get through gets the Zach Brown Band tickets. Check that on out. Luke Combs was there yesterday, speaking of country music. I think he's boys with Jimmy Butler seems like he's boys with all these
country guys.
And Luke Combs, I like that dude because he's fat, he can sing, and he had a hot girlfriend or wife fiance. I don't know what his relationship status is, but that's good for him, man.
You know,
singing's good living.
The politically correct thing, significant other.
I don't know if they are significant though. What if he's just having a good time in Miami? How am I to know? I don't know.
All right.
All I know is that dude can sing. He's got a ginger beard.
You into country music?
Sometimes. I was listening to some of this Luke Combs because I didn't know any of his music except that one song. Except that song we played a ton last year for Chili Cook-Off. She got the best of me. I knew that song.
They all sound the same.
No, that's totally different, man. It's totally different. It was the only thing I was upset with the Heat game yesterday, because it was a good day. Listen, we put Pop on skates. He didn't know what hit him yesterday. But I was upset that I couldn't watch the McGregor Don Cerrone press conference live because it looked like a good time. Don Cerrone was dressed like the Undertaker.
Yeah, he was.
That's cool. I hope he wears that jacket to the ring. That thing is awesome.
That's his.
Fiance. Oh, is it?
Somebody just texted.
Good for that guy, man. Jesus. He is. He always wears the cowboy hat to the ring because he's a cowboy.
But I like. How about we get some more Urban tickets to win? Hey, man.
We don't pick the prizes
here. That's the thing before the Super Bowl.
Night before
the Super Bowl. So that's what's going on there. And then the other thing we're giving away right now is the chili cook-off. Now, I'm going to just say this. Lil Weezy not going to be at the chicken chili cook-off. That's just not how that thing is run. Right?
I don't know.
I mean, it's basically a country. You know what I mean? I've been to it.
Yeah, I've been to it too. I worked it.
It's not in the middle of Davie, but it's not far from Davie. It's mostly like it's right in like Pembroke Pines.
Oh man, dude! I remember running my fraternity. We did the beer truck for that. Oh my god, it was chaos. So much debauchery.
How much beer did you drink?
I don't know.
Weren't you supposed to be selling the beer?
I was. Listen, man, it was a long day.
That's stupid.
What?
That's like making a crackhead a pharmacist.
No, we were responsible. We did it at Dolphins games. We were good at beer sales. We were good at it. I'm telling you, man. We had it all working for us. But yesterday, this was to tie in some Logley from the McGregor press conference. Can we get him yesterday talking about who he'd rather fight, Jorge Masvidal or Kamaru Usman for the welterweight championship? And Conor let it be known. Listen, first of all, he did not like Dana White. He said this yesterday. I did not like Dana White saying I'm too small for Jorge Masvidal. Dana White, as soon as that first fight was suggested, Dana White said too small. Conor's too small for that fight. And Conor did not like that. But he made it be known yesterday, let it be known yesterday, that he is into fighting Jorge Masvidal.
I'd take both, you know, I'd have both. I would like that bad motherfucker, that belt, and then I'd like the gold. You know, for me, the gold is a bit more, has a bit more significance to it, especially since the way the BMF fight finished. I thought we were robbed of a classic contest there. I thought it was only kicking into gear rounds 4 and 5. But they're both exciting bouts. I'd say probably the more exciting of the bout would probably be myself versus Jorge from a stylistic standpoint. Usman kind of has the similar style of Habib, you know, the sniff the jockstrap style. So, I mean, I'm interested for both, you know. We'll see what happens.
I mean, Khabib didn't have the sniff the jockstrap. He had the crank your neck into the other direction.
Hey, check this out. I don't know, but them last couple of fights gave kind of some get right. They got him some get right. He ain't on that flip. He ain't so cocky right now.
I tell you what, man. Like this is the thing. Like your get right is against a guy who has more UFC wins than anybody. Go get right. Good luck. Have fun.
You think he wins?
I think he's gonna win a decision. I don't think he's gonna knock him out. Nope.
How old is Conor?
32.
Wow, he's young.
32. Yeah,
that's pretty young.
Maybe he's 33. Let me see. 31.
31. Right. So he's just on the other side of 30. So he got 5.
Oh, he's got plenty of time left.
Right.
He's got plenty of time left. Right. It's just a matter of,
can he get his mind right? Can he stop, you know?
But in this situation, Donald Cerrone is a little bit like Aaron Rodgers. He can dial it up. You know, maybe he'll lose a couple in a row, but he loses to the best guys on the planet. So he dial it up, and he can head kick you.
You know what? That's the dumbest thing anybody could say.
What are you talking about, man?
Dial it up means you're good enough to do it. When you get old and can't do it, you can't dial it up.
He's 36 years old, and he can dial it up.
You want to try dialing it up again?
Yeah, here. I'm going to – this is Don Cerrone on Fight Night. All right, ready? Let's see. I'll dial it up.
Mm-hmm. Your call cannot be completed as dialed. Please check the number and dial again.
All right. Mm-hmm. Good luck, Donald.
Yeah. Yep. That's how it goes. Like, I don't know why everybody thinks what I'm saying is so crazy. That when you get old, it's not a matter of dialing it up. It's a matter of hanging in there. Right? Giving the illusion that you can still play.
All right, everybody have a great rest of your day. I'm glad that I could be of service to America.
I'm going to dial up a meeting right now.
Yep, about to dial up a meeting. I'll see if I got time. I gotta go shake Bill Belichick out of his boots. I don't know what I gotta do. You know.
Oh, now since you're you can get Bill Belichick to answer the tough questions.
I could get Bill Belichick to wax poetic. I just do.
So did the guy that said when he said I'm no Mona Lisa veto of footballs.
We'll talk to you guys tomorrow.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.